This is the intersection of faith and the culture. It's Walt Builders. We're taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. Thanks for coming along for the ride. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution coach and a former Texas legislator, with the honor of serving here with David Barton. He's America's premier historian and our founder at Wall Builders. And Tim Barton, national speaker and pastor and president of Wall Builders. You can learn more today at wallbuilders.com. That's wallbuilders.com. Of course, coming from the scripture in Nehemiah that says, arise and rebuild the walls, that we may no longer be a reproach. Today in the American culture, we're entering those tough times, folks. It could get a whole lot worse. And we can short-circuit the tough times, get back to the good times, if we return to the principles that gave us the good times in the first place. You've all seen the memes. You've heard the cycle, tough times make for tough men make for good times make for soft men or weak men, and then that makes for, of course, tough times. Well, we're in tough times, but not as bad as it certainly could be. And the way to turn it around is get back to the principles, change the inputs so that we can get the good outputs. Once again, we've allowed the cultural Marxists to change the inputs into the bad stuff. How about we turn it around and start putting in the good stuff? That's what we mean when we say rebuilding the walls. The American culture is crumbling, but we're not going to curl up in the fetal position and give up. We're looking at all that rubble, and we're going to pick up the pieces and rebuild the walls just like they did in Nehemiah. And we're thankful that you're helping us do that. Be sure and be a force multiplier. Share the program. Make a donation there at wallbuilders.com. Easy to do. You can make it a one-time or monthly donation that spreads the word. It helps increase our voice and reach more people, which means we restore this thing faster. So we're glad you're a part of it. All right, guys, later in the program, Dr. Everett Piper back with us. Been a little while. We used to have him on so much it felt like the Piper program, but it'll be good to get him back and catch up with Dr. Piper. And of course, we're seeing more and more of the woke nonsense finally, you know, having some consequence on the woke people. And of course, we saw that with the whole Google AI thing and the crazy stuff that came back when people typed in and wanted a picture of George Washington. He came back, let's just say, with darker skin than he actually had. And what were the other ones? There were some really crazy ones.
Yeah, here's what they had. When you asked AI to give you certain images and you said, hey, show me Vikings, you know, like not the football Vikings necessarily, but the historical Vikings that came from Europe. You had black Vikings. When you said, show me NHL players, they were female NHL players. They asked for an Asian woman. She was dressed in a Nazi-era German uniform. I mean, all this stuff was absolutely crazy, and it was so crazy that what happened, Google, their AI area, they lost $70 billion in just one day as a result of all these false generated images. You're trying to find truth, and now you're getting all these images that clearly are not truth. They're all woke, and they're made up, and so it was a big, huge loss for Google, and it's kind of backed a lot of people up on AI that maybe this is not the panacea we thought it might be. That the help, maybe this is politically flexible, if we should say, or, you know, can be taken over by somebody and moved in the wrong direction. So there's a lot of concern out there now.
Well, and there should be concern for lots of reasons. If people have never seen Terminator or iRobot or Eagle Eye or Shall I Continue? I mean, like, has nobody watched any movies? And, you know, that's a little tongue in cheek, but when you're looking at AI, when you're talking about some kind of artificial intelligence, it is a programmed artificial intelligence. So it always comes back to who is doing the programming. What is their worldview? What is their belief system? What's their ideology? Because that programming is going to be reflected when you're teaching someone how to think and what to think. You are inserting your belief in what they should be thinking and how they should be thinking. And so we're seeing some of this wokeness. And you know, Rick, when you're teasing the idea we're having Everett Piper coming on the program, it's interesting that today, you know, the last couple of years, there's been this huge growth and movement of Jordan Peterson. And really, Everett Piper was kind of making those same statements before Jordan Peterson was. Didn't have the same level platform, but it's the same idea challenging the nonsense. Now, Jordan Peterson also doesn't have the same level of biblical worldview that Everett Piper does, but The rise we have seen from some of these really strong voices, they've been challenging the wokeism. And if it wasn't for some of the major leaders of these organizations and corporations that are getting funding from this really ideological spectrum, the vast majority of Americans are not buying into this nonsense. And yet, we are being inundated with nonsense as we are seeing people try to shape culture into the image of wokeism, and it's not being embraced by the American people, even though it's being shoved down our throats.
Well, we're going to get some detail from Dr. Everett Piper. Stay with us. We'll be right back on The Wallbuilder Show.
Hey guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to let you know about an opportunity coming up for pastors and ministry leaders. We are doing our annual pastor's briefing in Washington, D.C., and we do this every year. We do one in the spring, we do one in the fall. This spring, it's April 16th and 17th. This fall, it is September 10th and 11th. This is one of the most significant things we do to encourage and challenge pastors in this culture we live in. It's in Washington, D.C., and Tuesday night, we do an after-hours tour of the U.S. Capitol, where we introduce pastors and ministry leaders to the history of the nation. The following day, we have congressmen come and they give a briefing on what they're doing and how God is challenging and motivating and using them. And frankly, most pastors, most ministry leaders, they don't know the rich spiritual heritage of the nation or what God is still doing, moving in the hearts and lives of leaders in this nation. I would encourage you, if you're a pastor, ministry leader, you need to come to this. It's one of the best things we do at Wallbuilders. To find out more, go to wallbuilders.com and look for the pastor's briefing.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wallbuilders. Great to have Dr. Everett Piper back on. Been too long, Dr. Piper. God bless you, man. Thanks for coming back on the program.
Well, always honored, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we love getting to spend time with you and appreciate all that you're doing out there and just continuing to influence the culture in a positive way. Just bring truth. And you're like the truth bomb king. I mean, other than David and Tim Barton, I think you drop more truth bombs than anybody I know. And I love the way that you do it as well. So had to get you on. David said, man, let's find out what Dr. Piper thinks about just the response to the wokeness. You know, you've been speaking out against it forever. But this whole Google thing and how quickly people, you know, were fed up with this AI thing. And it just seems like people are awake now and they're not falling for this stuff. Are you kind of getting that same sense?
Well, I think some of the extreme consequences of the woke religion are starting to become evident today. I mean, you and I and Tim, David, we've been warning of this stuff for a decade or more. In fact, I was warning of this when I wrote my dissertation at Michigan State University back in the 1990s. So I'm not surprised to see where this has gone because it's inevitable. The subtitle to my book, Not a Daycare, is The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. When you abandon truth as the measuring rod, to quote C.S. Lewis, the measuring rod outside of those things being measured, Lewis told us, you can do no measuring unless you have a measuring rod outside of those things being measured. In other words, you have to have a standard of truth to decide what's true and what's false. And that standard, that measurement, can't be yourself. But in a postmodern culture, we abandon truth as the measuring rod of everything, and we declared ourselves to be the ultimate standard that would be used to measure everything. When you abandon truth and you replace it with your personal emotions and your personal opinions and feelings, then the facts don't matter anymore. Whether George Washington was black or white doesn't matter anymore. Whether the Pope is male or female doesn't matter anymore. Whether a woman is real or just the fabrication of some dysphoric man doesn't matter anymore. Nothing matters anymore other than what you as an individual decide. It's the original sin. You've declared yourself to be as God. It's radical narcissism. You decide what's good or evil. You decide what's right or wrong. You decide what's bitter or sweet. And the prophet Isaiah tells us, woe unto any culture, any person, any man, any woman who starts calling things by their opposite. Mm. And the only way you get there is what happened at the Tower of Babel. The ivory tower has crumbled. Excuse me. The ivory tower has become the Tower of Babel. It essentially has crumbled. It makes no sense any longer. And people are saying, well, they're going to correct it. AI is going to go back and fix the mistakes that led to a black George Washington and Elon Musk being equated with Hitler and the pedophilia not being objectively right or wrong. They're going to correct those things. Well, correct them with what? They're going to correct them with the same young 25, 30-year-old person that's sitting in some back room feeding this data into AI, and it's only going to be as good or as bad as the data that's been inputted. And what, garbage in, garbage out.
Yep.
That's where we are right now. It's not a surprise, and it all goes back to abandoning truth as an objective standard of right and wrong, good and evil, and using ourselves, our opinions, our political ambitions, and our quest for power to replace that standard. Mm,
amen. Amen. I would have thought that, you know, when you do that, when there is no iron sharpening iron, there's no civil discourse, there's no, you make mistakes, or you get something wrong, somebody corrects you, you get better and better. When there isn't any of that give and take to find truth and to be able to sharpen each other, and you are wrong and you live in ignorance and you say things that are ignorant, you get embarrassed at some point and say, okay, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have run off by myself and thought I was the end all be all and have all the answers and I did, but that just hasn't happened. It's like even as foolish as it's been, there's not yet that correctives, the correction of the course. And I think what you're saying is what they're saying they're going to do to correct the course by still being truth, you know, from themselves, or there is no truth. It's not going to correct the course. We're just going to keep getting more of the same nonsense.
There's no way to correct direction unless you believe there's a true north. And I said way back in my Not in Daycare commentary, I said, what's taught today in the classroom is going to be practiced tomorrow in our culture. The chickens will come home to roost. And when you're teaching a bunch of snowflakes back in 2015 or earlier to whine and complain every time they feel uncomfortable with the reality that George Washington was white, not black, with the reality that pedophilia is objectively wrong, there's no moral neutrality here, with the reality that biology matters when it comes to defining a man or a woman, and when these snowflakes get all offended and cry and demand that they have their Play-Doh and puppies while they're going to college back in 2015, you fast forward nearly 10 years, and where are we? Those people that were whining and complaining and asking for their blankie back when they were at Berkeley in 2015 are now running these organizations, and we're suffering the consequences, the predictable consequences, as the result. They're not going to correct anything because they themselves are the only correction that they will recognize. And they want George Washington to be remembered as a different race. They want to dumb down the definition of sex between adult and child. They want to dumb down the definition of what a male and a female is. They want to subjectively define everything because there is no true north, there's no compass, and there's no way to decide for them in their hearts, minds, and souls. There's no other direction than that they can go other than toward their feelings. Facts don't matter.
You know, Dr. Pratt, you know how I am. I'm always like, okay, then what's the solution? My mind immediately goes there. And before I even ask you what it is, I got to tell you what the words that came back to me as you were saying that is, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, Rush Limbaugh saying, sometimes you just have to defeat them. There's not a coming together and a meeting of the mind. Sometimes you just have to defeat them and win and take back that ground. And that's all I can think of as you're saying this is like they are so far out there, we have to defeat them. We're not going to, there aren't many Naomi Wolfs and Bill Maher's out there that will actually start coming to reason on the left. And I don't know, do you agree with that? Or do you think there is more of a chance to woo them back to truth?
There is no way you can compromise with somebody who believes a male is a female.
Yeah.
There's no compromise here. You have to defeat that idea. You have to crush that idea because it is a lie. There's no way you can compromise with somebody who thinks that adolescents or even younger, 10, 12-year-old children should have the right to make sexual decisions for themselves, even if those decisions involve them getting involved, involve them engaging in an adult sexual world. I mean, that's where we are right now. You can't compromise with that. You have to defeat that idea. The only way you can defeat a lie is to shine the light of truth on it. That's why people like Riley Gaines, for example, are being heard, because they're shining a light of truth on the lie of trans identity. And that's why Rosaria Butterfield is being heard, because she's shining a light of truth on the subjective identity claims of sexual nihilism. We can't compromise with a lie, because if you compromise in debating with a lie, what do you have as the result? You have a nicer lie, but you don't have the truth.
Oh, that's good. So good. And that then makes me feel like, okay, is there's still enough of a base out there and a found, and maybe that's just the laws of nature, God written upon our hearts, but that when O'Reilly Gaines gets up and tells her story, people go, wow, okay, now I get it. I mean, Joe Rogan, I mean, all the rest, you got to be kidding me. I didn't realize it was this bad. Does that mean that the ground is maybe more fertile than even, you know, maybe a couple years ago, we're thinking, man, this, it just seems like they've just poisoned the well all over the place. I'm thinking that if O'Reilly Gaines is being heard right now, and if we're gaining ground in those areas, that means, you know, we've still got enough people out there that will be persuaded by truth. What do you think about that?
I am an optimist too. I mean, when Joe Rogan comes out a couple weeks ago and in his monologue says what we need is Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, I was blown away. Now, I'm not claiming that Joe Rogan made a born-again confession at that
right,
point in time,
right.
But he did acknowledge very explicitly that we need an objective standard of right and wrong. He went into a paragraph or two of saying why, and then he concluded by saying, what we need right now is Jesus. And I thought, good for you. Well, Bill Maher is understanding that there is a brokenness out there that is getting crazy. I've told you before when I went on the Dave Rubin show and the Adam Carolla show, neither of whom are conservative Christians by any stretch of the imagination, but when I talked to them about a measuring rod outside of those things being measured, when I talked to them about Chesterton saying, when you get rid of the big laws of God, you don't get liberty, but thousands of little laws down to the point where they're going to tell you how to use the bathroom and what pronouns to use. When I said those things on Rubin's show as well as Adam Carolla's show, they both concluded by saying, thank you, we need more of this. We need more of this wisdom, to quote Carolla. And Dave Rubin said, if more guys said what you just said on this show, we'd be a freer, braver, and wiser nation. So yes, the truth of God is written on every human heart. And maybe the crazier it gets, the more of an opportunity we have to step forward and say, told you so, this is getting nuts. And the reason it's getting nuts is because we've abandoned the truth as an objective measurement of this discussion.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. I can't help but think, last thing I'll ask you, you know, it's almost like the, you know, French Revolution versus American Revolution thing, and this, you know, kind of this libertarian mindset of libertas, but no God in the equation. Those people are the ones like a Joe Rogan that are just making the observation of, wow, freedom doesn't continue if anything goes and everything's okay. If there is no objective standard, like you just said, then eventually we get to what the tyranny of all of those little laws, and they're starting to realize that and team up with those who are saying, listen, you've got to have truth, and the only way you get truth is from faith and religion, and you've got to have that objective standard, and that's what will produce liberty. So be a Ben Franklin. You may not agree with us on the deity of Christ, but you can certainly agree with us that the teachings of the Bible produce good neighbors. And man, that is I'm seeing that in a lot of the, of that libertarian mindset. A lot of people are coming over and saying, hey, we get it now. We'll fight with you for that objective standard.
Yes. And we need to remember that if Jesus makes a promise, it won't be broken. The second person of the triune God does not break his promises. And he promised us the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Yeah, the triumphant church, a church that believes in engaging culture, doing its job, the Great Commission, teaching all nations to obey. Teaching, it's not just evangelism, it's teaching all nations to obey, as well as being salt and light in a culture that's, you know, rotting and dark. That's our obligation. And they can throw labels at us, they can malign us, they can construct these straw man arguments of Christian nationalism and all this nonsense. But the bottom line is the human spirit wants what's right and true, and we have the opportunity to bring that to the plate.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Everett Piper, always a pleasure, man. Thanks. And people can follow your columns over at the Washington Times. And let's get you back sooner. That was too long. I missed you, man. Thanks for coming on, brother.
All right. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barton.
Hey guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to tell you about our new book, The American Story, Building the Republic. We start with George Washington as president, and we've already become a nation, so really now it's how do we function as a nation? And if we look back in American history, the stability, the prosperity, success we enjoyed as Americans is because of the foundation that our early presidents laid, because of the examples they set. How do we live in America under the Constitution? What is the role of federal government? And really, what part did each one of these early presidents play? We go through the first seven presidents, and a lot of people probably know the names Washington, Adams, Jefferson, and Madison. very few people know about Monroe or John Quincy Adams or Andrew Jackson. Now, we might know some of their names. We really don't know their stories. We want you to relearn, rediscover American history and see how it applies to today. Go to wallbuilders.com and get your copy of The American Story, Building the Republic.
We're back here at Wallbuilders. Thanks for staying with us. And thanks to Dr. Everett Piper. Great to have him back. And wow, guys, what a clear description of what happens when you have truth versus moral relativism.
Yeah, Rick, it's so clear when someone who understands truth and the foundation for truth explains why moral relativism doesn't work and why, right, as he pointed out, the founding fathers, they believed truth existed. And, you know, you pointed out, right, apart from like Benjamin Franklin, who maybe their disagreement is if Jesus was truly divine, or maybe he's a prophet. And there's probably a couple founding fathers that question the divinity of Jesus, but none of them question the existence of God. None of them question revelation from God, the idea that truth comes from God. When they said, we know these truths to be self-evident, this is what they understood from the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God, that God has revealed himself in two ways. God revealed himself through creation. God revealed himself through his word. And together, they give us a picture of the way life should work. And they said, we know those truths to be self-evident. Right? These truths are obvious because God gave them to us in two ways. And when we live in a culture that is rejecting the basic reality of truth, when truth becomes subjective, again, as Dr. Piper was pointing out, when truth becomes subjective, you cannot function in society when some people think, well, it's the truth is whatever I want, think, or feel. And then there's another set that says, well, no, there's an objective standard. This is where we're having a conflict. That there's an irreconcilable difference when someone believes that truth is subjective versus objective. Now, one of the things that I will tell students quite often is nobody believes entirely in subjective truth or subjective morality, meaning that when someone says, well, truth is up to the individual and each individual should do what they think is right, nobody believes that in that blatant statement in its entirety, because if you ask anybody, is it okay for a person to take a gun, go into elementary school and start killing kids? Of course it's not okay. But what if that person determined it was okay, right? What if they believed that was their truth? That doesn't matter. We objectively know that is wrong and evil. Why? Dr. Piper pointed out, right? This is something that God wrote truth on the hearts of men, and you can reject it, right? You can become so calloused that you are ignoring it, you're putting it down, but we all know at some level that there is objective morality, objective standards. And as we are seeing a culture reject those, that is why we are having more and more problems. We're rejecting God's standards, which explains to us the way the world operates.
And, you know, echoing some of that too, Rick, back at the beginning, you asked Everett, said, hey, are folks no longer falling for this nonsense? And I thought his answer was really interesting. He said, well, not for the extreme. And so it's like, yeah, we're still falling for part of it, but not for the extreme. And you know, part of it, he mentioned, he said, and you were talking about it, there's no way to compromise with many of their views, you know, that children should have sexual relations or biological trans male athletes should be allowed to compete with them. There's just areas you can't compromise with. But I think one of the interesting things that we've all got to watch out for is the thing where the scripture talks about a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. I mean, it's like if you get in a pot of boiling water, 212 degrees, you're going to get out really quick. But if you get out of that 212 degrees and you jump in something that's maybe 180, you say, oh, this is so much better than that 212. Well, you're used to 80 and 90 degree water or ocean water or whatever. And so I think the wokeism has really moved a lot of people in a wrong direction little by little. And we've accepted things we would never have considered even 20 years ago. And so I think it's a good kind of wake-up call for us to kind of back up and say, hey, regardless of what the culture is saying right now, what was believed by my parents or what was believed 10 years ago, or what does the Bible say about this stuff? And I think that it's really easy for wokeness to get in to some degree where we end up tolerating things we really shouldn't tolerate because we just don't want to get in a controversy with somebody else. But you've got to be able to put your foot down and say, no, there's certain things that are rights and wrongs and absolutes, and I'm just not moving on that. And so what happens is a lot of people end up kind of tolerating some things they really shouldn't tolerate. And I think in the Republican Party, a lot of this happened maybe 15, 16, 18 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, but there was a move for libertarians to come into the party. And Republicans wanted voters, and the Libertarians came in and they were working in the Republican Party, but they didn't really hold to that religion and morality kind of stuff. And so Republicans kind of tolerated that because they wanted to win elections. And I think that it's just slowly, gradually, we keep tolerating just a little bit more, working a little more toward, as the axiom is, the frog boiling in the pot doesn't realize it's there until it's boiling. It gets used to a little hotter temperature each time. And we just can't do that on moral issues, and we can't make those kind of compromises with wokeness. And so I think a lot of conservatives have been affected by that libertarian thing of, well, if that's your view, that's not my view, but if that's your view, and you just can't give up moral ground like that.
And Dad, I would say too, that I think a lot of it too is secularism and relativism.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
I think there's the people that are really siding libertarian, they might not all identify as Republican, or really as Republican, and maybe not even as conservative, because they want to be separate from that because they see a problem with that. But I think, I mean, to your point, we're seeing even Republicans embrace a moral relativism, embrace a secularism, right? This idea, well, no, we don't really have to follow God's standards. We can all do our own thing. That's just not the way our nation was built. That's not the way a free society will function well. And that's not the way America can stand or last.
Well, folks, thanks for joining us today. Hope that you've enjoyed this time with us and with Dr. Piper. Certainly appreciate his efforts to help restore the culture as well. Take all these programs and share them with your friends and family. Make sure you go to wallbuilders.com today, make that contribution, grab some more of our programming, maybe get the Biblical Citizenship and Modern America course and start hosting that in your home or at your church. But find a way to be a force multiplier, be a part of the solution by being the catalyst for a restoration of biblical values and constitutional principles. Thanks again for listening. You've been listening to Wallbuilders.